Welcome to the Conscious Investor. Let's get started.
Conscious investing begins, it begins actually every single day in how we view things and the people that we meet and bring into our lives. So this past July, I happened to be at an event and I met Brady prior to that. We met in breakout rooms and such. So we actually met for the first time in person. However, meeting people in real life is super powerful and really important. So today, like 6 months after like meeting in person, we finally have an opportunity to record a very transparent conversation on our investing life. And I'm really stoked out on this conversation. So Brady, I just want to say thank you for being an awesome human being. And thank you for joining me on this episode 6 months later.
Yeah, I've been really excited about it because you're right. We met, I don't know how long ago we met, but we'd seen each other, met each other many, many times, met in person with you and your husband there. And I am super excited to be here. And thanks, Julie, for having me on. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I hope hope people get a lot from it. And, you know, that's why we're here, to help other people. So, yeah, really excited to be here.
I think everybody who knows me knows that I love what I do. And if I'm not having fun, I will work my tail off and I will hustle and I will do everything, but I'm going to have fun doing it. So the fun factor is totally going to be there. But you said something. So we've been talking off air for a few minutes and, you know, just talking, planning out this conversation. So it's a very calculated conversation. No, if you're listening, you know, I don't do calculated conversations. Right. It's a very organic conversation. But you said something and it triggered. Your wife works for a nonprofit. I used to be a public school educator, have a heart for helping. Like we have this, our families have this shared mindset for really serving and helping empower people to financially build and grow wealth. And you said this word. You said you want to help people and you want this investment strategy to be accessible to all people. And immediately I was thinking about this training I went to about accessibility for learning. And then I started thinking about within building and zoning and all of that, right? We have to have so many, you know, accessible units, you know, for people who might be disabled in some capacity. And I just thought that was a really interesting segue to think about how, you know, inaccessible syndicates are to most people.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's really fun to kind of talk to people about it as well, because they have this idea of what, I mean, they hear the word syndication and, you know, and people's brain starts to melt for some reason, right?
Oh, totally.
it's so true. And it's like, and it kind of turns off, and then it's like, you start talking to people about it and what it really means. And honestly, it's extremely accessible. It's really just, hey, you want to invest in real estate. You've got a team of people now working for you, literally working for you, and you get to invest in real estate. You get to participate in so much of the benefits of it, but there's a whole team beside you doing all the work. And so, yeah, I really enjoy those investor conversations where we get to kind of unpack, one, what are their goals? What do they really want? Because investing in real estate it's a broad term in and of itself. But there's always something in back of it, right? There's always something behind, I want to do this. And so I really enjoy understanding from people, you know, why do you really want to do this? And for a lot of people, it's tied to family. It's tied to extra income, you know, generational wealth, whatever it might be. But a lot of times that roadblock in getting from, I want to invest in real estate, these are my goals, the roadblock many times is just that mindset of, not necessarily a fear factor, but more of a lack of understanding factor of, well, how do you get there? And so that uncertainty kind of stops you in your tracks, right? It's like, I want to do this. I feel like it's the right thing to do for all these reasons and my goals and whatever. But getting there is a lot of times unclear, especially if what's been told to them all along is that, oh, you got to go get a single family rental house and you got to do this and you got to do that. But knowing the right people, right, and knowing, you know, how to get involved in these things, right? So it could be, you know, as an example, like people that know you, Julie, right? They're gonna know like investing in real estate is just super accessible, right? But that gap is really there for a lot of people. And so I really enjoy bridging that gap and just bringing people from, this is what I want, this is where I want to go, I don't know how to get there, and just being able to draw them in to, you know, to bridging that. And then it's really fun for them because they're like, oh, I didn't realize that. You know?
Right. Well, and yeah. It's okay. To your point where you're saying, and I said something, I'm going to backtrack real fast and say, I said, yeah, sure. You know, syndications are very inaccessible, and I'm going to put an asterisk by that in that this has nothing to do. You're like, I'm like, amen, preach, love it all. But I'm like, I'm backtracking to cover my own behind. And that is it. It's not that it's inaccessible. It's that there is a lack of understanding as to, like, you, to your point, I don't even know where to start. I don't even know how to find this. So let's make this simple.
Right.
My family, my kids and I try new recipes often. Where we live, we don't get to, you know, have all the luxuries of, you know, restaurants around us. So, hey, we want to make donuts. So if you want to make donuts, it's really easy. You just go to YouTube, you go to, you know, Google, you do your web search, you watch just a few videos, you find some recipes, and boom, you're done. But a lot, oftentimes people, when it comes to real estate investing, they're literally the deer in the headlights. Let's just go to the Peter Rabbit movie. And if people haven't seen that, they need to see it. It's hilarious. And there's this deer literally stuck in the headlights, and it just says, headlights, right? And I think that that's how a lot of people are. Like, just YouTube that clip. If you're listening, just YouTube that clip. It's hilarious. And it represents how most people are. They're like, I really want to do this, but headlights, like it's overwhelming. It's too much. I can't handle it. And it's really quite simple.
It's true. And, you know, uncertainty, I don't know if somebody said or if I made it up, but, you know, uncertainty stops people. I forget the quote now that I started it, but uncertainty just stops people, right? If you're looking at something and you don't know the next steps, that uncertainty, you know, that's in your head, it just freezes you. And it makes you, you know, it makes you just stop in your tracks. Even if there's an overwhelming need to get to the end, that uncertainty kind of stops you. It's not necessarily a fear. It's just like, I don't want to take the next step because I don't know what it is. Now, some people don't face that. It's like, I know where I want to go, I'm just going to jump. You know,
those people are very few. I swim I'm swimming in that pool. That's my life. That's me. And I'm like, there really aren't very many people in this pool over here.
A lot of people want to know what the next step is before they jump off the cliff. You're right.
Right. Do I have a parachute? Yeah.
That's right. I mean, there's ways to mitigate it for sure.
For sure.
But yeah, so I, you know, it's a lot of fun to kind of bring and bridge that gap. And it's not that far of a leap, right? It's really not. It's just that it's unknown. And so if you think of like the mindset of, people can relate to single family homes all day, they own one, right? Yeah. And that mindset of, okay, I understand appreciation, I understand the value of real estate, you know, somewhat from the single family home perspective. So there's an understanding there of how to do that. But then to bridge that into, we primarily invest in apartment buildings, to bridge that from there to apartment buildings, you know, we try and start with what they know. And then, you know, bring them along that journey with us in a short conversation of, well, this is what we do, you know, and it's really just you with other investors, and you have a team of people beside you that are doing all the work. You're putting up all the money and you get to participate. Everything flows through to you first as the investor, because we can't do what we do without you. And you participate in all the benefits, including all the incentives the government likes to give us and whatever else. You participate in that as a full ownership, you know, partner. So, the accessibility of investing in real estate has never been better. You know, the syndication model is a great model. It's a term not many people understand, so it scares them, but it's at the core of it is extremely accessible and it's simple to understand. But it comes down to relationships, right? You got to know the right people. And you got to trust them, because you're putting your money in their hands, and you trust them with that, right? It's a business almost, right? So anyway, we really enjoy the journey with the investors.
It's so much fun. It's so much fun to support people in growing their understanding on something. And by the way, if you haven't already, if you're, you know, you're listening, you haven't already checked out the YouTube playlist Syndication Made Simple, just go to the Conscious Investor YouTube page, because it has, there's literally a short video on all the terms broken down into super simple daily vernacular that you will understand instead of, you know, large words that you feel lost with. But, you know, it's all about relationships. So I find myself regularly saying to people, this is because I am sure we are kindred spirits on that. I don't think we've met somebody that isn't already our friend. Like, we're walking in a world full of friends. Like, right? So I just talk to all sorts of people all the time. And what I find is that, you know, most people don't realize this is a word of mouth, particularly the investments that I do. And I'm wondering, you know, if you are, you know, particularly, you know, investing in 506Bs, which are for sophisticated and accredited, or just Cs for accredited only?
So we like the 506B model because, again, you know, I really like the idea of, if someone wants to invest with us, then I really want them to have that opportunity. You know, it takes a relationship, of course. I mean, the part of, you know, the 506B rule is, you know, we have to know the people, right? But that doesn't mean we have to have known them for 10 years, right? We get to know them. And that's part of the journey as well, and also part of the fun. But I like the 506B model. I like being able to bring in sophisticated investors along with accredited investors. You know, I think, again, it goes back to if someone really wants to invest in real estate and they want to do it, you know, passively, where it's not their time in the equation and still get all the benefits, then, I mean, they should be able to. And so we make that accessible to them. Yeah.
I love that. I just can't even wrap my head about going back to single family houses. I know there's cash flow. I get that. But the benefits, and just like, it makes me cringe now at this point. I'm just like, I will never go back. And here I say, I'll never, you know, never say never, but you know, the benefits are so amazing. You know, you and your wife, I mean, she's part of this, just like my husband is part of my investing. I did fire him from my company. And it's kind of a
how
joke.
How did he take it?
I
mean,
I said, you know, I love you and I want to stay married happily to you. He's now a managing broker of a residential, you know, office, real estate office. So
I'm doing quite well. I mean, from what I've seen, I mean, he's a rock star. So
yeah, exactly. So I'm like, how about you stay in your space? Because, you know, it's just good to like zero in, focus and crush whatever it is that you're doing. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, bittersweet, it's not a bad thing for us. We still travel, you know, I mean, we still travel together and, you know, live in each other's real estate ponds a little bit, mm-hmm. But you know, how do you and your wife, I think this is interesting to backtrack a little bit. Like,
yeah,
a lot of people, you know, they are in a marriage or they're in a partnership and there might be some friction because one of them wants to go down this crazy path, you know? So how do you and your wife, you know, manage that?
Yeah. You know, I mean, first of all, I have an amazing wife. That's step one in the management process.
This is true.
That cannot be overlooked whatsoever.
Mary Wright people.
You know, and maybe even stepping back a little further, I mean, you didn't ask, but maybe to fill in a little bit of a gap, you know, my background is I started in engineering. I quickly decided I didn't want to do the analytical side of it because I like the people side. So I quickly moved into more leadership type roles, right? And doing project management, leading large teams, all this type of stuff. And so that was my background. And so enter into the world of, you know, hey, babe, I got this brilliant idea. I've really been looking into this. And I think we need to go down the path of buying apartment buildings and bringing investors along with us. It's a big leap, right? Almost. And as far as, you know, accepting that. And so, yeah, you want to make sure jumping into that side of the business or into any new venture that your spouse is on board. And fortunately for me, Nikki was always on board. She knows me well. She knows that if I've decided to go into this, then it's been well thought out. But even still, you know, it's a journey, right? It's, you know, I've analyzed it, I've looked at it, I've decided, yeah, this is the venture we're going to go do. But there's still, you've got to bring your spouse along with you, right? Don't assume, and I hope listeners are listening to this, right? Don't assume that because you have this brilliant idea that's going to make you a lot of money and it's going to help a lot of people in the process, that your spouse understands every detail that you've been mulling over for the last months, right? Because they don't. And so it's important to kind of bridge that gap and actually give them time, you know, time not as in, hey, let's sit down for 30 minutes over lunch, but time as in, hey, let's sit down and let me tell you what I'm thinking about and give them time to digest it. You know, the other thing that's key for us, so we're goal setters. Kind of always been that way. I'm a pretty driven person. You know, when you set your mind to it, just go do it. I think you're very similar to like, see,
Get it done.
It's like, we want to go do this. Let's go. You know, if we got to cut down the top of the mountain to achieve it, well, we'll figure out a way to do that. And we're both kind of that way. She actually in her job, she works for a nonprofit and they're big into goal setting. They're big into leadership. They bring up students as leaders in what they do. And it's awesome. And so we have this kind of mentality, but even between us of, you know, let's set some goals and let's go achieve them. So what's been important for us in that same kind of atmosphere is, so now in COVID actually helped us with this because, you know, everybody started working from home. It didn't help with everything, but it did help with this. And, you know, we were working from home, especially when the kids went back to school finally. You know, we were like, hey, we should really, you know, we're here. We should go do date days, you know, where we just go to lunch, you know, and that's been super helpful. And what we started doing is for a lunch break once a week, we'll go, we'll talk about the week. We'll talk about what we have going on and, you know, this kind of thing. You know, not so programmatically, if you will, but still just that importance of being on the same page about where you're going, kind of what's moving you there, to understand what she's doing that week. She gets a picture of what I'm doing that week. And that has been super helpful just to get on the same page each week. I mean, we also set yearly goals. You know, we're those kind of people and, you know, so I think
that's how you go places in life.
That's right.
You're going to go somewhere,
right?
Let me say, put it that another way. Time is going to pass, no matter what. Time will pass, and you can use that time really well and invest it wisely and strategically, or you can lose it. So it's like use it or lose it, mm-hmm. but you don't get it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's like, you know, I can make money, right? You can figure out. You can get a job. You can, I don't know, you can sell donuts after you've made them in your house. You know, you can find a way to make money, but I can never find a way to get back those hours that I missed, you know, last week, you know. Yeah. And honestly, that was part of the driving force for me personally to start looking into this business model was that time factor itself, you know, because you're right. You know, it comes down to kind of what we said with our investors. When I was talking earlier, everybody has a mindset of what they want or a goal of, you know, hey, sometimes it's just a glimmer of an idea, right? It's right, like, well, this right. is what I want. But without actually trying to sit down and think about, well, what would I have to do to get there? It's just an idea, right? And so that process, you know, for both Nikki and I of sitting down and thinking about, well, by the end of this year, you know, this is what would make it successful. And, you know, I actually just did this again kind of a couple of weeks ago at a mastermind group I was a part of where we wrote down, you know, this time next year, you know, I would feel successful if these things had happened. Right. And it wasn't necessarily business. Right. It was like family, faith. It was, you know, your relationship with your wife, with your kid, you know, whatever. Right. The whole shebang. And this is what would define success for me looking back, you know, a year from now, if I'd achieved these things. And I think that's so important for people and it's missed because we're so busy, right? And I think, you know, when I can help people extract themselves, investors, other people doing what I'm doing, whomever, mm-hmm. but to help other people kind of extract themselves from the busyness, even for a little bit, And just to look at that perspective of, you know what you want to do for the most part, now, even if it's a glimmer right. of an idea, but, you know, write down some steps, even if it's like three, just three bullets, you know?
I think three is a magic number when it's like, if you have, because then you can get the momentum. And if you're, you know, just add three more, you finished one, add the three more that come after the last one, like just continually adding the three.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, you know, I think for me, you know, I started a habit a long time ago where in the morning I would say, okay, these are the three things I'm going to do in the morning. I haven't always been great at it. I'm not some superstar goal setter, but it has been more consistent than not. We'll say that.
Yes.
But hey, here's the three big things, or even not even big things, but here's the three things I want to get done today. Picking one of them as, you know, what's the most important next step? You know, if I could look at my day, and even if I could just look at my week, right, and say, I know I got to get some of this done, but this is the most important next step. I think even that simplification of saying, you know, what's my most important next step, then that's so defining. And it, you can also just kind of filter off the rest of the stuff that's on your dashboard of your computer sometimes, right? And just focus on that one thing. Minimize all the screens and focus on that one thing, you know?
You know, that's just it, is that you were talking about busyness, right? And I've spoken about the difference between being busy and being productive. And that's the difference. The difference is how, like, and I'm looking around at my desk right now. I just got back from this event and I like sticky notes, and I'm looking at this thing like, this looks like a disaster, but it's actually very productive and, you know, keeping me on track to, you know, finish things up. But you have to close out the screens. You have to, like you said, you have to focus in and say, this gets my attention. And so you can't give your attention to all things. So evaluate and say, what's trying to, you know, knock me off course just by taking my attention.
Right.
You get to give your attention to whatever you want.
Yeah. And I think, you know, and that's, you know, and even stepping it a little broader picture of, you know, maybe focus on the business for a little bit longer. You know, for me, you know, you're right. Things get so cluttered, right? I got two screens. I got this screen, Ron. I got another huge screen here on the side. And during the day, you know, I'll look up sometimes and it's like, I got this open, this open, this open, this open. And you're right, to just focus in and be able to say, okay, what can I just close and clear out to really focus my time is so important. The other thing that kind of triggered in my mind as we were talking is, you know, it's not just about business either. It's, you know, I'm married, we have two kids, we got a dog, you know, we got busy, we got whatever, right? Like 90% of the rest of us, right? Yeah. There's no time in our day, no matter what anybody does, there's never any time. But it's been very important. And Nikki's helped a lot with this, right? Because again, I can get that kind of tunnel vision sometimes. And you know, Nikki's helped out a lot with this as well, where we kind of step back and it's like for our week, you know, it can't just be about business. It can't just be about what she's doing at her work, right? You need to create that extra bandwidth for family, right? You need to create that extra bandwidth for, as an example, we're taking our kids out on a date day tomorrow. Or date night, sorry. Tomorrow's Friday when we're recording this. And we decided, okay, you're taking our son, I'm taking our daughter, and we're going to go and just do a date night. And it sounds so simple, and people do it all the time. But for us, I get so busy that unless I force myself to take that step back, it's been 3 months, you know, or it's been a month, you know. And I want to throw that in there for people, because, you know, there's a lot of people listening to your show. They're doing business, you know, their hours are crazy. There's people that are listening to your show that are, you know, they want to invest in real estate and their lives are super crazy, right? And that's why they want to look into passively investing. And without that trigger in your mind about, you know, it's not just about business. I didn't get in business to lose my lifestyle. You know, it maybe is just a great, you know, thing to remember, right? I didn't start this business to lose my lifestyle. I started this business so that I could have a lifestyle that I want, but I shouldn't sacrifice my lifestyle today in the process. And I just feel like that's so important for people. And without that balance, honestly, things just get out of whack quick, right?
Very, very quick. So I love that. I don't think enough people are actually doing date times with their kids. And for me, it's always been easier to snag some time with my daughter by way of how our schedules work. And I'm very intentional. It's also one of her love languages, but I have to be very intentional with our son. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's crazy because he's bigger than me, but up until 13 and bigger than his mom, you know, but up until, I mean, like 6 months ago, well, he'll still do it at home, but we, you know, we were out on our date time and here's this, you know, like awesome kid that's just a big guy comes in the restaurant, sits on mom's lap and it's like, mom, I want to show you this YouTube thing. You know, it's almost like the cuddly bear. And it's just like our kids, no matter how old they're getting, they still have this childlikeness that needs that attention. And it's so easy, especially as kids get older, to, you know, to assume that, oh, well, they don't need my attention and affection, or they don't just need me to sit there and watch a show with them, or they like, our kids need our time and our attention, and it's really simple things.
Yeah. And, you know, kind of this path that we've been on in this podcast is kind of, you know, the goals mindset, the, you know, making things accessible, understanding people's goals, helping them out with it. And then now kind of talking through some of these goals. I mean, honestly, it's kind of, I mean, the big trigger for me, you know, probably the next level down for our discussion, the big trigger for me and even getting into this business was that lifestyle change. Mm-hmm. It was that, you know, there was a lot of uncertainty in my career several years ago, and that there was a trigger event there where it was just like, man, do I want to run the risk of, you know, having to set aside a lot of what my family has grown accustomed to, of what we enjoy doing, of where we enjoy living, for someone else making that decision for me, you know? And that's where it was a trigger point for me. And it's honestly a trigger point for a lot of passive investors we know, that they're trying to get to the point where, hey, I want to start really building up my passive income so that I don't have to be 100% reliant on my active income, you know? And that is, it rings true with so many people, especially a lot of our investors, of that just mindset of, you know, I just want to create that additional bandwidth. You know, I just want to create some buffer there, because again, my goal in life is not to work, you know, 1,000 hours a week and then die rich. You know, my goal in life is actually to enjoy that life, to have that lifestyle. And if it means, hey, I've got to be a little sacrificial now in what I'm doing, to set some goals, to plan it out, to think ahead and say, hey, you know, instead of doing this big thing here with our money, maybe we just reposition some of that into over here into a passive investment. But that kind of determined, purposeful, you know, of, you know, mindset of, we know what we want. So if we don't do anything, I know I'm not going to get it. If I do something, at least I'm going to get one step closer. And that kind of one step closer idea is what I really try and draw people towards. Because making that giant leap, right, is so far-fetched in people's mind. It's like, oh, I'll never get there. But I love hiking. I know that you guys love mountain biking as well, you know. But I love hiking. I love getting in the mountains. And what's fun about that is you get so far along and you look back and you're like, I can't believe I walked that far, right?
Yes.
Right? And you
every time.
And investing is the same way. Right. If you allow yourself to simply focus on, and really anything, it doesn't have to be investing, anything. It's if you allow yourself to simply focus on what's the next step I got to take, as long as it's heading in the direction of that goal, what's that next step I got to take? Before long, it's just like that hiking trip you went on with your family. You're sitting up at the peak and you're looking down at where your car might be way in the distance. And you're thinking to yourself, good night, I really went far. And it's the same thing, right? You take one step and then you focus on the next. You go to the next tree in the distance as you're hiking, you know, you go to that next interval of your investing as you're going along. And before you look back and, man, you've accumulated enough passive income to really make a dent in where you want to go. And that's, you know, that's a huge step for a lot of people.
Huge. Right? Well, you know, and using your hiking, you know, analogy, is that sometimes when we're hiking, where we hike, a lot of times there is rocky terrain. And sometimes you kind of stumble a little bit or catch your foot or something. It kind of, you know, jars you a little bit. Maybe you even fall a little bit. But the idea is you get back up, you haven't lost anything, and you can course correct. And so that distance between the finish line and where you are today is such a, there's such a chasm between that. And yet you can close that distance by just simply focusing in, going back to focus, focusing on just what step do I need? What's that one action I can take in my investing or in my marriage or with my kids or to get fit and healthy or to grow my mindset so I can, you know, grow in all these other ways.
Yeah. Cause they're all interrelated, right? It's, you know, when you're sitting at the starting line, if you know, I feel like the starting line's always moving for one thing, but if you're standing at the starting line,
right? That's okay. As long as the goalposts aren't moving.
That's true. Yeah. But you're standing at the starting line and you're looking at where you got to go. And it can be, honestly, going back, tying it back to kind of where we started some of the conversation of that leap from, I kind of know where I want to go, but man, there's a big gap of understanding how to get there. But sometimes really all it takes is that next step and getting into the relationship side that we talked about earlier for the type of investing that we do at Ridgeline Equity. We have to have that relationship. And honestly, sometimes people just, they'll see what we post on Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever, or they'll hit me here on a podcast and they'll just reach out. And just that simple conversation, right? You can kind of see that light bulb starting to come on and you're like, oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't realize that it was that straightforward. And then they start getting educated a little bit more and understanding a little bit more. Maybe they go watch your YouTube videos, you know, but they get that glimmer in their mind. And then you can kind of see it like play out right in front of you of they were at a starting line. They took a small step that was probably pretty uncomfortable, right? Reaching out to somebody they may not know well. Right. Mm-hmm. And then they took that small step. They started to get to know other people. They started to get to know the sponsor, if you will, for a syndication. And then before they know it, they came along that journey, whether it was through educational materials, conversations or whatever. And now they're at the point where it's like, you know, it really isn't that big of a leap for me anymore. And then they turn back and they look and they're like, oh, man, I really came pretty far. And then especially, you know, when they start investing and become much more active in the passive investing and also realize that they really did not have to put in a huge amount of time, because that's people's real fear is if I jump into this, I'm already so loaded. How on earth am I ever going to keep track of this stuff? And there's a reason it's called passive. <You know>? Exactly. There's a reason you have two sides of a syndication, an active side and a passive side. And that passive side is really empowering for a lot of people, you know, and for a lot of people, it is the right step for them in their investing journey in real estate. And, you know, simply because they have so much going on. So
definitely not a time suck, except for those of us who catch the fever and we're like, this is so remarkable. I need to do this full time and I need to help everybody in the world find out about this.
That's right. That's right. Then it becomes quite a time consuming endeavor.
right. But it's all pure joy. You know, you'd mentioned something about, you know, that moment, several years ago where you felt like your job was on the line. And I just got off a call with someone and I was telling them I was in a public school teacher. I was 28 years old. I was, teaching for a district, and next thing you know, they're handing out pink slips. Fortunately, I was not one of the people that received a pink slip, but for me, that was like a big awakening moment because it was like, I thought I was quote safe. So there's certain job sectors where we kind of feel like we're safe and they're not going to take our jobs away. Like they're not going to take firefighters away. We have to have firefighters and cops and teachers. Like, come on, the community has to have these people and it feels all safe and comfortable. And then no, they start handing out pink slips and laying people off.
Yeah.
So like these are real things. And the understanding that we are all expendable is very difficult to come to terms with, but in all reality, you are expendable. Your company can be acquired by another company and you're gone. Like anything can happen. And so being in control and like setting up those passive investments so that, you know, God forbid something happens, it's not devastating to right. you. You have another plan. You have a plan in place.
Right. Yeah. And I can totally relate to what you were saying. You know, for me, you know, back then it was, I wasn't concerned about my immediate job, but overall the industry sector that I was in was getting a huge shakeup, you know. And, you know, I think we all get into that position, like you said, where it's like, man, you know, that's not going to happen to me. And we just start cranking through our life. You know, we're going to soccer games. We're, you know, mountain biking on the weekend.
We're living.
And, you know, we're living. Exactly.
And focus on living. We're not really thinking about some of the other things.
Yeah. But, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, but, you know, industries change and technology changes. And, you know, I having that happened in my career, you know, to some point we can always relate to it because we see it happening in other people's careers, but we don't think it's ever going to happen to us. But you're like one technology step away from it happening to you. I mean, that's the reality, right? Yes. You're one technology step away from that happening to you, or one kind of industry slight change away from it, you know, at least being something to consider in any industry. And so, yeah, I think, you know, that again, not to say it too much, but, you know, that was the giant realization for us. And I think for many people is that, you know what, I've got to find something that is not dependent on my time. You know, if I can make money in my sleep, then great. That's a whole lot more time in my day that I'm making money, you know?
That's right.
You know, if I don't actually have to be there in my, I always have this picture, Julie, of like, I have this bucket of money, I'm investing it here, and all these little bits of money are walking around and doing all the work for me, and they're making more little bits of money. You know, I mean, I know it's a weird picture, but
it's okay. I have money babies. I'm like, I want my money to come together and make babies, like just make more babies.
That's right. I mean, you know, it's an interesting thought, whether it's, you know, weird or not, I don't know, but to have like this idea of like, you know, when you go off and invest your money into real estate, especially real estate where you can force the appreciation into it, right? Where you're not mm-hmm. so dependent on the market alone, right? Which, you know, apartments are in that sector where you can force appreciation into them. You know, you're literally watching your money start from whatever it is today and going off and making lots of other monies, right? Yes. And that's a very unique feeling from the mindset we just started talking about, which is, you know, I'm going to work, you know, I'm one technology step away from being at risk, in which I might have to take another month, 2 months, you know, depending on what industry you're in, to find the next job. I might have to move. I might have to do a lot of things versus, you know, for me, if I had some passive income coming in, well, maybe that creates enough bandwidth that we can stay here. We can do what we want to do. We don't have to move. We don't have to make super life changes. Maybe there's enough bandwidth there to buy me some time. And that was kind of the beginning step for me. It's the steps got much beyond that now, but that was that initial thought.
Beginning. You know?
Yeah, yes. That was that initial thought. And I think for a lot of people, whether it's jobs or there was a friend of mine recently that, you know, one of their kids had something happen to them, which was a trigger event for them. And they just quickly realized like, man, life is short. Life is super so short. Unfortunately, you know, their son's good, but it was that just shock to the system that I think we all need from mm-hmm. time to time. For you to really step back and think to yourself, man, am I just kind of cruising along here, or do I need to make a change so that my life is a little bit more intentional, right? You know, maybe not even quantum leaps intentional, but just a little bit more intentional about, you know, is for me and my family, are we going to end up really where we want to be, or are we just kind of living right now? It's a slight change in thought, but it's very different end point, perhaps, you know, or even getting to the end point, let's say.
Right. Well, and you know, we always, people are going to get tired of hearing me say this, but consistency over intensity, right? It will serve you better to just be consistent and doing what you want. Brady, I have loved this conversation. I cannot believe how fast the time has flown by because I mean, we spoke a lot when we were at that event in July. And so I'm like, yep, I knew that we would not have a problem having a great conversation that is going to be valuable to others. But what is the best way for people to connect up with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So they can find me on LinkedIn. They can also find me on Facebook. If people are looking for some ideas of how to invest, we just created a short pamphlet on, you know, creative ways to fund your first deal. That's out on our website, ridgelineequity.com. Go check us out there as well. You know, people can also just email me. I'm pretty approachable, right?
He's very approachable. Don't worry.
Yeah. So you can also just email me and, I'm happy to talk with anybody we can. And if we can help out, even better, you know? So yeah. Thanks, Julie, first of all, for just, you know, having me on the show. It's been super fun. It was really great meeting you and your husband at that conference. And this was a lot of fun for me. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Brady. Listeners, if this has served you well, then leave a review. Let us know what you got from this. Let us know a step that you're going to take. And, you know, go check out ridgelineequity.com, right? Did I get it right?
Right.
Yes. Go check out Brady's, you know, website, download things, connect up with him. And until next time, live big, love bigger. What's the big deal about investing in apartments? Why is it better than investing in a slew of single family homes? I've compiled a lot of information on why investing in a multifamily, also known as apartments, will help you reach your investment goals. Head over to 3keysinvestments.com and download the Why Invest in Multifamily guide today.